much going to be browbeat by anybody on that court.
Maybe with her words.
Well, it may be, but she is not going to be.
Do you get the impression that Berger is representing others on the court?
I gathered from the long conversation we had yesterday that there was a rather wide discussion of the situation up there yesterday, because he mentioned about Blackman told him how great a chance of Herschel Friday was. The women don't want to be women. substantially. could not carry their load. And he points out that White and Potter Stewart and Brennan are so stupid that when he can't assign some of the cases to him because he doesn't know what they're going to write.
I understand now. Yeah, well, another thing, too, you have to understand, though, a man over 65, business knows this, everybody else, frankly, can't work the 12-hour days anymore. He's got that mark for a man of 55 to work 12-hour days. We know that, right?
I agree with that. I'm 100% with you on that.
Dean asked Mrs. Bob Cummings how her workload was fixed. She's all caught up.
Well, she's pretty darn smart because she doesn't waste time on these things. Well, when they have this type of workload, a lot of these judges will sit down and write the 30-page opinion. You don't need that. What you need to do is dispose of the case, and that's what she's done, basically. There are some areas with some issues where she has written more mature opinions on the subject matters where they needed it, but the idea is to get the work started out.
Most we remember justice must be swift, and according to Holmes' rule, it also must be reasonable, or it isn't justice. That's another thing about that's the terrible thing about the Warren Court. It made it unpredictable for the presidents anymore. Right now, that's true. You can't do that.
Mr. President, as of yesterday when he walked in, was to deliver to you a resignation that became effective September 18, 1972. Now, the reason for that is that, of course, you can't go through this term without a Chief Justice. And, of course, September would be the period before the new term of the court.
You see, the reason I had the fire is that he then is resigning.
He says that, but there haven't been enough of them exposed to the judicial process long enough to attain this suspension.
Mutation has to take place.
Well,
this woman been exposed to
it as long as he has.
More.
And the point is that he says he bases his argument on qualification, but basically it is the woman. And he goes into the argument, well, you should have a Jew and a black and a Chinaman and a Burmese.
He bought that.
But, well, this is the argument as to why you shouldn't select a woman.
Oh, because then you would have to do that.
Then you have to go to all the segments. He's gone through all of this on the woman.
I'm sure you reassured him that that is what the president approaches.
I assured him of that, and the track record proves it.
He only perfectly. We got Jew from Minnesota. What does that prove?
He's perfectly willing to accept the geographical requirement of the South.
Well, he's got one in the South, certainly.
But it still goes back to that woman. That's the
whole place. We'd be better off having him resign now than September 72.
Well, that court would just fall apart.
The best thing for him to do is just take this.
I believe it's on very able fellow who was the deputy over there, which we would appoint as acting and look at it and say, this is a pretty hard area to get people of confidence.
I suppose.
Wilson was first class. God, he traveled and pushed those strike forces in the organized crime field.
Isn't that a shame? Deloach, give you any good advice?
Deloach's advice, if you want, this is about Hoover. Very simple and direct. But the only way you're going to get rid of Hoover is to call him in and tell him that he's through and give him his prerequisite, you know, the car and the consultant and this, that, and the next. He says that Hoover, there's nobody, not Dick Berlin or anybody else, that can get to Hoover. He's been in the ivory tower too.
Yeah. What's he think of?
Deloach? Yeah, he thinks that Hoover ought to get out of there.
Why does he think so?
Because of what's coming.
He thinks it's that bad?
Yes. And he talks to Hoover all the time, you know, about different things. Hoover, of course, treats him as a junior partner, so to speak.
Yeah.
He'll call him up and go over everything and try and justify his own position.
First, he always went Lou Nichols, you know.
Nobody ever has.
Helms called me yesterday to say that one of the news magazines is going with a very heavy story on the FBI and espionage.
Time magazine.
And espionage, yeah, that the Bureau is...
Well, so the background of this is that Sullivan went to a couple of admirals around here and complained that Hoover wasn't doing the proper thing in connection to
this.
And that they, of course, put it in Novak's column. It was the basis of the Smith article in the Times. And now Time has picked up this up, and the news site is the one that's been after Helms and
right.
So forth.
I just need to have a dry mouth. That's the problem. We just can't lose that way. We can't win if they dry it out, which they might.
I don't think that the story can play too big, John, because
they got what he wants to do, what they want to do. We don't call it that. We have to wait for more bills. He isn't going there. You know how he is. He isn't going to do it based on the rumors and so forth. He said, I've been here all this before, and I'll be there.
Well, this is going to get progressively worse, in my opinion. Because they've got that report of that ad hoc committee up there, and you've got Sullivan out now, who has credibility, although he shouldn't have. And you've got people in that agency that worked under Sullivan that are going to be leaking the stuff.
Yeah.
I think it'll continue to escalate. I think he should retire. Plus the fact that the fellow's getting paranoid, you know, about these things. Yeah, you probably notice he's writing letters to the editors and all the rest of it. And he is getting senile. You know, when you sit down and talk to him, he repeats himself and goes back into the past.
He's always done a lot of that, but now he just does it without knowing it, which is just too bad. And
one time I... One time I had him in my office, and he started to talk, and I looked at my watch. He talked for 16 minutes and went all over Kelsey's barn without...
16 minutes?
16 minutes without an interruption.
You were lucky. I've been over there and had a monologue for half an hour.
Really?
Without my doing anyone's...
Everybody
were ahead. And then I went back and got the same thing.
Sullivan had taken all of the materials in the whole bureau where he, Sullivan, had ever been reprimanded or overridden, overruled, and so forth. And he had it all in a file. They found it. So Hoover went immediately to all of the supervisors and top people and made them sign affidavits that they had never taken any such material out of the file, but all of that material was still in the file. Just an idiotic approach. I feel very strongly about it, Mr. President. But John says the Bureau is not performing in some areas properly.
If you were to try to specify to him,
I guess.
team, and he's done it in your interest, and but the important thing is DeLoach says this fellow is absolutely helpless, that we have to keep this staff over there.
And that's easy.
Just
sign the executive order.
Thank you.
raised that. He said, we'll get a reading on that anyway. When I arrive, if they have a good crowd out, that'll be an indication. And I almost said, I fell out of my chair and just sat there and say anything. The poor guy, I think he's going to be heartbroken if he arrives there and they don't have Red Square filled with screaming Chinese.
Believes that the police go there.
God that they, I believe you're going to get a good popular reception.
We're not trying to have what I'm simply saying. We're not trying to have. I don't expect Chapin or anybody to know the advance I'm going to.
Yeah, he's going to raise it.
He's going to raise it to us.
And that's
the point.
I will raise it.
But I am is that what I'm saying is that, yeah, that what we are trying to do here is to let that be as much as possible, that some way the message gets through. That's all I'm interested in.
Right. Now, I will be able, particularly when I talk about Mrs. Nixon, to make the point of
that is,
the people.
That is the point that I have no feeling on.
No, but I know I...
But
I can get in the point of
yeah.
Even if we drop out Mrs. Nixon eventually, I can put in the point that for the American public, the contact with the
people... The way I can handle that is simply this. Mr. Prime Minister, Mrs. Nixon is going to Russia. I said, start with that proposition. Now, we have no plans at the present time of her coming here. We have deliberately done that. Tell us honestly, would you want her or do you not want her? That's the way I think that.
There we are.
She is going to Russia, and that's the way that all has gone.
We have two problems. I mean, one is how to introduce the Mrs. Nixon proposition. That's easy.
Yes,
the second is to use the Mrs. Nixon proposition to introduce the point of the crowd. It's very tough for me, and I want to be careful about this, to say to Cho, I mean, these are mortal enemies. I mean, there's no way they will not let us go over their heads, and we may be bringing down the guy who's on our side if we try to create crowd situations.
I guess that where there are Russian pubs, we don't want to go rushing around and be totally, shall we say, captives in the period if we can avoid it.
Right.
Part of it is the way we present, there's an impression that could come out that we don't want, that we were worried about security, that we don't want any exposure to how many people, and all that means, right?
he told me that if you see Mao, or when you see Mao, they wanted to be outside of Peking in his country place.
That's great.
Now, we have no way of refusing that. We've got to see him wherever they say it is.
I think I understand what you have in mind, but...